Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money, start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not hopefully in 30 or 40 years from now, but right now. So you have that life that you love, doing what you love, being with those you love. And beyond just the money, you guys want to make a massive impact in the world. And as a Rippler, you want to create a ripple effect through your family and generations beyond you, as well as the world around you. Because as you're blessed financially, you can bless other people's lives too. So guys, thank you so much for allowing me to create that ripple effect through you. Thank you for sharing and binging and doing all the things you guys have done that, man, like these numbers are just skyrocketing. It's all because of you. So thank you so much for being a part of this and taking action so that your lives change. Because it's not about being a hearer, it's about being a doer of the word as well. So thank you so much. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You can get great stuff on there. And check out and subscribe on our YouTube channel, you know, the Chris Miles of Money Ripples. Go ahead and check that out. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, guys. So today I have a special guest. And as you know, I got certain people that have got the guest pinned down. Like they know exactly how to say, Chris, this person's going to be perfect for your show. And they just keep delivering over and over. And I know this guy is no exception. This guy aligns perfectly with our message, which is awesome. And especially if you guys have been thinking about, hey, like if I want to get more prosperous, do I have to necessarily make things a lot bigger? Do I have to lose time in order to get more money? Do I have to sacrifice those things? And that's the kind of thing that we want to talk about today. Is it really necessary, or is there a way you can have both? Can you have your cake and eat it too? And so I have a special guest on here, Lee LeFevre, right? Now he's an author of The Art of Explanation, and he's a co-founder of Common Craft, the company commonly known for pioneers explaining. He's known for being pioneers of the explainer video movement, right? He's also written a new book, Big Enough, that we're going to talk about today. Since 2007, his company Common Craft has won numerous awards, created explanations for the world's most respected brands, and has produced explainer videos that have earned over 50 million views. His second book, like we're going to talk about today, Big Enough, focuses on a saner, healthier approach to entrepreneurship. And that's what we want to talk about today. So, Lee, welcome to our show.
Great to be here, Chris.
So, give us the kind of the rundown of your path. Like, what led you down where you are today?
Sure. In 2007, my wife, Sachi, who is a partner in everything we do at Common Craft, joined the company. So we were a two-person company. YouTube was blowing up. Social media was blowing up. And we noticed that there was a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of people wondering how these tools were going to impact them. So we had the idea of making these little videos that were designed to explain something like a blog or social networking or a wiki in about 3 minutes in an animated style with paper cutouts and a whiteboard. And those videos just took off, I think, because they were clear explanations that for normal people, not technology people. Right. And were viral hits, or 2007 style viral hits. Mm-hmm. And it changed our lives. We suddenly became known as the people who started the explainer videos, and brands came to us very quickly asking for custom projects. And those first videos were videos that we actually owned the copyright for. We weren't hired to create. So we had two different business models going where we could be hired and make a ton of money in services. And then eventually we discovered we could actually earn passive revenue from the content that we owned by doing digital downloads. And because those videos were used in education, classrooms, intranets, presentations. So we were very fortunate to have a lot of demand and a lot of opportunities. And instead of just going blindly to the money side of it, Saatchi and I took a step back in about a year after it all started and said, you know, what business do we really want to be in? Like, do we want to continue down this services road, hire employees, get bigger, probably make a lot of money? Or is there another way to look at this?
Yeah.
And what we noticed was that, you know, we're a happy couple. Thankfully, we get along really well. We've worked from home. We are married, all that stuff. And we thought, you know, if we're not careful, this opportunity could ruin our relationship. Yeah. We might make more money, but it might ruin the relationship. So really, what's it all for? So starting then, we said, we've made a promise to ourselves that we were going to never have employees. No employees. Like, that would be a constraint for us in terms of the business. Like, business opportunities that require more employees, we just wouldn't pursue. And we also said that we would always work from home. We'll never have an office. Again, another constraint that sort of influences decisions. And we would focus on the long-term model of earning residual income from content that we own, from our intellectual property. And so from 2008 to today, we've gone through 6 or 8 different business models trying to live by that code, that we can be small and we can have a business that scales and produces passive income for us that allows us to have the quality of life we want. We're not shooting for a mega yacht. We're shooting for having control of our time.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about kind of reminds me of a conversation I had long ago with a mentor of mine, right? And we're sitting down at lunch and we're talking about like my dreams, right? I was like, I'm going to be like the abundant minded version of a Dave Ramsey, right? Like, I'm going to go beyond what that is. I'm not going to have people live on rice and beans. I'm going to have them enjoy that free life and whatnot, but I'm going to be huge, right? And she's like, well, what are you thinking that looks like in revenue? I'm like, well, at least $10, $20 million after so many years, right? Like, maybe a 5-year goal of $10, $20 million. She's like, all right, Chris, well, I've been down that path. I've worked with people who have been down that path. Just know that your life changes. Once you hit that 5 million mark, it's never the same. Like, you're going to be traveling, speaking, you're going to be doing all kinds of stuff. It's not going to be the same anymore. You're basically going to be living a speaker lifestyle, you know? And she's like, is that what you really want? Or do you want lifestyle? And she's like, I know people that make, $500,000 a year that have a better lifestyle than people making $5, $10, $20 million a year. So what do you want? And I was like, well, I'd rather have the lifestyle. You know, I want impact, but not at the expense of losing a lifestyle. And she's like, well, there you go. And that's kind of what you're talking about here, is like, there are ways you can have both, really. Like, it's not about an either or, like she was pitching. You're saying you could still scale, but have a life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think that there's a couple of things that come to mind. In the book, I talk about this study that was done about the impact of income on happiness. And it says that for people who are having trouble covering the basics, money obviously matters. It's a huge deal. And that's true in a lot of money keeps making a difference all the way up until about $200,000 per year. And this is a huge longitudinal study. So it's a very macro picture of this. Yeah. But after 200,000, the next hundreds of thousands of dollars have diminishing returns in terms of happiness. And they more and more money is nice. And again, it's about your values, what you value. So what people realize is with that money comes obligation. Like your advisor was saying, you're more busy, you have less time, you have more things going on, and people don't often anticipate that.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely someone who, despite my book being about, staying small, I think we need entrepreneurs who shoot big, and I do not want to denigrate entrepreneurial pursuits in any way. I just want to show that there are other options, and that there is a choice to be made about how your business is aligned with your values and what you value. And if you value a huge pile of money, then please do. But if you think you value something different, then I encourage people not to outsource their values to society at large, or what they see on TV, or what they see the Joneses doing, and think a lot about like what they really value. And that takes a lot of introspection, but if you get there, you can find ways to think about your business that can support and align with those values.
Yeah. So give us examples of people that have been able to implement this, whether it's yourself or others that you've worked with. Like, how does that, how has it looked in different people's cases?
You know, I think there's a lot of people right now who are doing digital products, which are like courses. Courses are a big thing right now that allow people to make a course once and then have people enroll in it over time that produces that sort of income. I think that, you know, the original big enough people, I think, are people like authors and photographers and people like that who are creators. Who again, in our, just like us, they own their content and can make residual income from owning that content.
Royalties and whatnot.
And from royalties and things like that. We're a little bit unique in video. Once online video started to be a big deal, there was really making money from ads or being hired to make videos. The licensing thing is a little bit more rare. And I think it's because of our focus on education. Like we don't do any kind of, we don't make advertising for other companies. We just do the educational kinds of videos, even when we're hired to do it, because that's something that that's our form of having an impact, is making videos that solve problems and that educate versus just trying to sell something.
Yeah. I love it. Now, so, I mean, yeah, this is speaking to me big time. So a lot of these people, some of these people don't have businesses, right? While other people do, you know, what are your recommendations? Like, how would your principles apply here? Like, let's say for the person that's maybe like, you know, up in your area, maybe they're up in near Seattle and they're an IT manager up there, right? Like, you know, what would someone like that, like, because they're just thinking that you got to work, right? Like, how do you get out of that rat race?
Yeah, I mean, values is a big thing. What you really want out of your life. And I encourage people, if they're thinking about what could I do for a business, I think, like, what is the subject that you want to talk about all the time? Like, what is the thing that when you're around your friends, you find yourself coming back to that is just a passion of yours, it's that passion that really drives entrepreneurs, is there's something that is just fascinating to them. And maybe there's a chance to create a course around that, or to start to develop some expertise around it, or start making videos about it, or something like that. There's a story in the book that relates to this where, I fell in love with Twitter as soon as I saw it. And in 2007, we made a video that explained Twitter. It was our property. And I reached out to Biz Stone at Twitter and said, "Hey, we made this video. You know, it's, you know, if you want to use it, you can." And he was like, "Oh, we love it." And so we just did a handshake deal, no money involved. And a couple of weeks later, a button appeared on twitter.com that said, "Watch a video." And when you clicked it, the video came up and it was our video with a link that said, "Thanks to our friends at commoncraft.com." Wow. And it just blew up, you know, those millions and millions of views just for a handshake deal on, you know, something I reached out to him on a whim. And I think that looking for problems that need to be solved and then going to people who are being impacted by that problem can be a powerful way to get your foot in the door to say, "Look, I saw that this was happening and I made this. What do you think? I can do more of it if you want," and is a way to kind of get started, I think.
Yeah. How about your business? Like, what happened? Because obviously you started getting blown up and things like that. How were you able to scale it and manage it? You know, I mean, did you just basically turn business away, say, "Nope, I'm not taking it"? Or were you saying, "No, let's find ways to leverage ourselves more"?
Yeah. So being the first mover in the explainer video world, again, had a lot of demand. And what we noticed was other producers were starting to also produce what they called explainer videos.
Yeah.
And so what we did was went out to them and said, "Hey, I see you're making explainer videos. We like your work. If you'll pay us a monthly fee, we'll create a listing on our website that says, here are other producers you can go to." Sure. And then when someone would come to us that we couldn't service, we'd say, "Hey, check out the Explainer Network." Mm-hmm. And, you know, that went for years and years. And it was a very lightweight business model that allowed us to stay at the center of the industry and be the sort of broker and earn passive income just sort of by giving leads to the network. And it was like a win-win. We were all happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like what I've done a lot of times as well, is like, rather trying to be the jack of all trades, I farm out and refer out to different people. And, you know, obviously some of them can pay me, some of them can't, you know, but, you know, depending on the legal ramifications. But if you're in a business where it's dealing with business owners, right, like typical business type stuff, you can do that all day long.
Yeah, Yeah, for sure. And we started off doing digital downloads of the videos a la carte, one at a time. And then we transitioned into having a membership service. So you become a member of Common Craft, and that's been going since 2012. We now also license our the visuals that are in our videos. They're a Common Craft style. They all look the same. There's almost 3,500 of them. Mm-hmm. And that became something else that we can license. And the beauty of that from the business side is it's a byproduct, because we are, every time we make a video, we create those digital, those visuals. So mm-hmm. our library is always growing just based on doing the work we were going to be doing anyway. Right. So that's another part of the business. We've also done courses and under the brand Explainer Academy that teach people how to do the videos we do. One of the unique things about our perspective, I think, is that it's like the Explainer Network, that we've always kind of gone with the flow and not tried to push back against the competition, but mm-hmm. tried to get a handle on where the market is going. And instead of saying, you know, trying to stop that or trying to push it back, saying, how can we change this company to go with the flow instead of against it? So when people started wanting to make Common Craft videos, we didn't say, stop, mm-hmm. you know, that's not your property. We said, here are the images. Here's how we do it. Please do it. And then that allowed us to have a business based on teaching people how to do the thing they wanted to do. So that this, again, relates to Big Enough in that I think for people who are aspiring entrepreneurs, agility and resilience are key, right? Especially right now, as we've all seen with COVID, the world gets turned upside down. The more overhead you have, the harder it is for you to move. And if you stay light and stay agile, you can just look around and be like, you know what? We're going to change the direction and then just do it.
That was like the big aha in 2015. It's like I was going from 50, 60 hours a week, and then I went through a divorce, which it's like those life things, right? That just say, well, what's my life going to be like now? And when I redesigned my business to be more what I wanted, it was going down like a 5 to 10 hour a week type of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But the ironic thing is, like you said, like you can start cutting out the overhead and everything else. You realize, wait a minute, now I have a way big profitable beast. Even if I make the same money, I'm making way more profit. I'm keeping way more of that money. And then of course, the funny thing is I kept scaling and getting bigger because now I had capacity anyways, right?
Totally. And you know, the other side of that to small businesses like that is your personal spending matters too. Like if you don't require a lot, then it doesn't take that much for your company to be successful for you. It might not be successful in terms of like Fortune 500, but for you personally, there's a tight connection for a lot of small business owners between your spending. And if you're out there trying to get a mega yacht, your business doesn't care about that. Business is going to do what it's going to do. You've got to be able to challenge to manage your lifestyle in a way that works for what your business can produce.
Amen to that. Well, awesome. Well, if people want to get access to this book, right, or they want to learn more about what you guys offer, you know, how would they do that?
The book's website is the book's title, bigenough.life, bigenoughlife. And then and my company is called Common Craft, and that's at commoncraft.com, just like it sounds.
Awesome. And who do you recommend this book for, really?
I think it's for people who are trying to figure out what's next, you know, who have maybe worked in a corporation or a big company for a while and are ready to focus on values like their quality of life and having control of their time and looking for a way that a business can enable that. Something I say in the book is I think time is the new wealth. I think it's the thing that people will prioritize in terms of decision making. What's going to give me more time? And I think it's for people for whom that resonates.
I guarantee that's resonating with thousands and thousands of listeners right now.
I hope so.
I can guarantee that, because if there's one thing I hear from people is that they want the money, right? They want the passive income or those streams of income, but it's because they want time back. They want that freedom, those options, those choices. And your book is right up that alley.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think time is the linchpin. If you can get time under your control, that's where your freedom comes and that's where your independence comes from is time. That's the factor, I think.
Amen to that. Well, Lee, I really appreciate you being on the show, man. This is awesome. Everybody, make sure you go check out bigenough.life to get the book, or commoncraft.com to check out more about Lee's stuff there. But Lee, again, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And guys, again, like I said at the beginning of the show, right? It's not just about hearing the stuff and saying, that's a good idea. It's about taking this idea and implementing it, making it work in your life. Even if it's just one concept, if you can just take that and master it, that's what changes lives. That's what actually gets results. So you're not just somebody living on hopium, You're actually somebody who gets results. And so, guys, I challenge you to do that this week. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.